From college for a couple of days. It's good to see all of you, and good to have you home. And so I know I'll probably have to leave today, right, to get back to school. So finish things up. Only a few weeks left. So this week and next week, I think next week is the end of this series, which Chris is going to talk next week about feeling overwhelmed. Can God help us when we feel overwhelmed? And which I'm looking forward to, because I know I feel that sometimes as I get a little older, things that I didn't used to bother me, boy, sometimes I do feel overwhelmed, especially when I have to clean all of my stuff. Like, well, who made this mess? It was me. I feel overwhelmed by who's going to take care of that. Today, I want to look specifically at what do we do when we feel unwanted, and can God help us with that? And so I want to look at two different situations when we feel unwanted. And this may work the same way for you. I had to think about this, and maybe a little different for you, but I think it's something we all know how this feels because it happens to us. And so there are two situations that happen in life, and there are times that there are some people who don't want you around. You did something or said something or didn't do something, and you really are unwanted. There's examples of this in the New Testament and the Old Testament. And it becomes a reality, and people would prefer that you're not around. Now, in the suburbs, we don't tell each other that. We just kind of have that, you know, that uncomfortable silence where you don't say it, but you know it, and you kind of stand there pretending that it's not there, and you wish it would go away. That happens, and you feel unwanted. Sometimes it's true, but emotions are confusing. They're very complex. Sometimes we feel unwanted. God gave us our emotions to show us something is happening. Sometimes we feel unwanted, but there's something else. Something is happening, but it's not really that you're unwanted. You may feel that way, but it's your response to a situation, and it's not really what the other person is intending, or it may be your own expectation. And so it's what you feel, but it's not true. There's something happening, but the feeling is a little misplaced. It's a little misguided. Your emotion is there to tell you something is happening. I feel unwanted, but there's something else going on. So we're going to look at both of those today, and can God help us with that? So why don't we stop and pray, and we'll dive into this morning. God, thank you that you desire us. Show us how we work. And these things are complex in our hearts, and they can be hard to discern. So help us sort these things out. I pray that we come away with a stronger view of you and how we can cooperate with you in these areas of our lives, in these struggles. Amen. So I want to start with, you are unwanted. So the way this works is you usually do something or don't do something. You have some response, and or someone wanted you to do something. So there's either something you did, they call this acts of omission or commission. You did something or didn't do something, or someone had an expectation. Now, in what I used to do, I used to work for a construction company, and sometimes in construction, people are a little more verbal. In the suburbs, we're often very proper. But I had a guy at a job site tell me this one day, and he said, I had my supervisor say, he says, you know, you should talk. He could kind of see that there was some friction, you know, and sometimes you have to work together. You work for the same company. And this particular guy, he was not afraid of sharing his emotions. And my boss said, hey, you should talk with him because I can kind of see there's some friction between you two. And you know, you're working at the same job site. You got to get along, you know. I says, okay. And so I went in the trailer, and it was just he and I, and I figured, well, I says, hey, you know, is there something I did? Is there something, you know? And big guy, big, you know, much, probably twice my size. And he looks me right in the eye, and he says, I've got no use for you. I don't like you. I never did. I'll work with you, but I've got no use for you. And I'm going, okay. What do you even say? Thank you. For whatever reason, and I just kind of left it there. He didn't want me around. He didn't like me for whatever reason. But he said, well, we'll work together. We'll be together. It turns out, you know, sometimes people have things in their lives, and I wasn't really wanted there. I don't know if that's happened to you, and usually it doesn't happen like that. Usually we're a little more polite on occasion, those things, people say them, but sometimes we're not wanted. You know, Moses wasn't wanted by the Israelites. God told Moses, I want you to free the Israelites from slavery, and he did. And he led them into Egypt. I'm out of Egypt. And they got very scared leaving. And they said, Moses, why did you lead us out of Egypt to die in the desert? Why? Why didn't you let us? We had good things when we were in Egypt. We were fed. It was kind of hard. It wasn't fun. And Pharaoh hated us. But it was okay. We weren't going to die in the desert. He wasn't liked in the moment. What he was doing was not wanted. That happens in life. I don't know if that's happened to you. I think it probably has. Sometimes a family member, sometimes you have a disagreement. All types. But that does happen in life. There are sometimes you feel unwanted, and our emotions are amazingly complex. They're trying to tell us something, and I'm trying to think of the last time I felt unwanted. You know, as a pastor, sometimes I have an obligation to tell someone, this is not a good idea. This is a path that's not a good path. You probably should think about this. This doesn't end well. You know, sometimes people go, you're right. Thank you. You know what happens sometimes? They don't like it. Go away. Go away. Go away with your message. I really don't want to hear what you have to say. Sometimes people find people who agree with them. It's unpopular, but it happens. Sometimes it happens if you ever feel unwanted. You know, when I was in college, I lived on this little dorm floor, and one of the guys on the floor became my best friend at the time. And then, you know, in college, there's always a girl. There was this girl that he started dating, and they dated for a little while, and you know what happened? She started to like me. Which is very flattering. Oh, someone likes me. Well, I'm kind of better than him anyway, aren't I? He's kind of just boring or whatever. And, you know, it's flattering to be liked, right? She likes me, and so, and we're like two doors apart, you know what I mean? So she starts dating me, and we're hanging out and doing things together, and they're not dating anymore. And, but you know what I found is interesting? This should have been a sign. You ever meet a girl like in high school or someone who's always dating someone? They always have her. They move on. They're always moving on to the new person. You know why? Because the new person is more exciting. I don't know everything about them. And so you know what happened? She hung around with me for a little while. Then you know what happened? I'm really not that exciting. I'm really not that exciting. And the new guy, some new guy, became more exciting. And she left to date somebody else, just like she did with my friend Alan. I became the old guy who wasn't as exciting. And you know how I felt? She doesn't really want me. I don't feel wanted. I did feel wanted for a little while, and then she left. There was some other guy who was better, more exciting, or whatever. Maybe he was just new. But I felt, what's wrong with me? Why doesn't she want me? Why doesn't she want to be with me? What's wrong with me? I'm not wanted. I'm not wanted. Is that what was really happening? I don't think so. I think for whatever her needs were, she needed to have something always new coming in because she's trying to sort out feeling good about herself. And she moved on from one guy to the next guy to the next guy. And God often does this. I think there are times if we could have everything we wanted, he protects us from things that are bad for us. If I don't know her, I kind of moved on, but I saw her on Facebook, and it looks like that pattern just continued. She just kept moving on in life. And it doesn't really work. It doesn't really work. I don't think it was about, I think my emotions were wrong. It wasn't about, she never probably really wanted to be with me. She just wanted something exciting to fill her life up. And when it wasn't exciting, she moved on. So sometimes we feel things that aren't quite real. Sometimes we feel unwanted, and it's not that we're really unwanted. It's just that we're a little distant. We're not connected with God or with someone who can help us understand that we're cared for. You know, it's very easy to connect with technology. It's right here. It's all around us. And it's very easy to do that. But to connect with people and to connect with God is a relationship. It takes effort. It takes work to have a good relationship. You have to put time in to build a good relationship. So when things don't work out, this is my oversimplification of personality. So introverts and extroverts deal with this in different ways. So if an extrovert feels unwanted, what normally happens? You help me here, you extroverts. So if you're an extrovert, what happens when the extrovert doesn't feel wanted? Who gets blamed? The other people, the world outside. I would feel better. I would feel better, and I'm an extrovert a little bit, so I apologize if I've done this to you. I would feel better if you would like me, if you would do this, if someone would call me, if someone, no one initiates with me, and I feel bad because it's their fault. If they would only do this, we look to the outside to fix our heart troubles. Normal tendency. Everyone's a little different, but that's the normal path of an extrovert. Well, I would feel better if she hadn't left me. If they had done this or didn't do that, whatever, that's the normal path for fixing these things. I would feel better if they were different. They're responsible for my feelings. If they would only do something different. That's not taking responsibility for... So extroverts tend to push that out to others. Introverts, when they feel bad, often look inside. They left. Why did they leave? What's wrong with me? What could I have done different? They look inside. Normally, we have different paths of trying to fix this. If I'd only did this, if I only did that, maybe this would have worked out. Why are they angry at me? Sometimes we do both. We blame ourselves and we blame others. So, what can we do? Sometimes it's true we're not wanted. Sometimes we feel unwanted and there's something else going on and it's a little hard to figure out. So what can we do? I want to give you four ideas here of things we can do. What we can do. We can look at examples to follow. Who is a good example of sorting these things out? We're going to look at the Apostle Paul. The other thing I want to look at is how do we get God's perspective? We can get so immersed in the situation How do we get God's perspective? This girlfriend thing that didn't work out in college, in the moment, I was very sad. Now, I'm very happy that didn't work out. I think it would have been very bad for my life. It was very hard to see back then. It was very disappointing back then, but I think God was protecting me from someone who wasn't that stable of a person. But in the moment, it felt very different. I want to look at God's acceptance. How does God accept us? How does God accept us? And having friends help you with that, having relationships of people who help you see these things. So first, we're going to dive right into the example of Paul. So in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about his life. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. He talks about his life, and this is how he talks about it. He says, my life is afflicted in every way. That's what he says in that verse. My life is afflicted. I have been afflicted. This is Paul, not me talking. In every way. That's what he says about it. We have been afflicted, us apostles, in every way, in trying to do this ministry, trying to do this church work. If there's an affliction, we have it. I have it. He says, as a matter of fact, I'm perplexed. What do you mean perplexed? It's confusing, all of this resistance. But after each of these statements, he puts some phrases in. He says, I'm afflicted in every way, but not crushed. I'm afflicted, but not crushed. He says, I'm perplexed, but not in despair. So he's saying, I struggle with some things. There's some things coming at my life which are very hard. I'm afflicted and I'm perplexed, but I'm not crushed and I'm not in despair. And we're going to look at why. The next verse, that's 2 Corinthians 4:8. The next verse, 4:9, he said, I am hunted down. That's really true. He was not wanted. People were hunting him down. He mentions some people specifically in other parts of the epistles. He says, I am being hunted down. He was thrown in prison. He says, I've been knocked down. That means I've been physically knocked to the ground. People didn't like what he was doing. Here's what he says after, I've been hunted down, but never abandoned by God. I've been hunted down, but never abandoned. I've been knocked down, but never destroyed. He says, I've encountered great hardship, great struggle in my life. I've been perplexed. I've been afflicted. I've been hunted. I've been knocked down, but never without hope. How does that work? How does that work? One of the things I've been trying to do is work on my own heart in getting more of God's view. And I know some denominations have a prayer book, and I thought, well, we really need to learn how to pray. And so I'm reading 5 Psalms a day. I says, I'm going to learn, I'm going to read God's prayer book and learn how this works. And so I'm reading 5 Psalms a day to learn this pattern of how to pray and how to relate my life to God, what I'm struggling with, because it's not my natural habit. I think about things, I obsess about them, but I don't always pray, and I want to grow in that. So I want to get the psalm view, a view of the psalms of how to do this in my life. So here's something we can do. Psalm 145, we're just going to look at a few of these, a few examples. He says, the Lord is close to those who call on him. Calling on God. The habit of calling on God. Yes, to all who trust in him, he grants the desires of those who fear him, the hearts. He hears their cries for help and rescues them. Ever hear the phrase that to grab onto something, you have to let go of something first? To grab onto God, you may need to let go of your worry. If you're going to do this, if you're consumed with these things, you may need to call out to God. It's something we can practically do. And I see this in the Psalms all the time. David does it all the time. The same guy will says God. He'll say, God, why haven't you killed my enemies? They're still here. Why haven't you killed them? Strike them down. Kill them dead. Which seems pretty harsh. But he says that. He talks to God about his struggle. And at the end of the psalm, his heart is different. It's the same guy, his same enemies, and they're not dead yet. But he feels different. Why? Because he's connected with who God is, and he has hope again. He goes to God with his struggle. That is the pattern, the view from the Psalms. Here's something else we can do. Let each generation tell its children about your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. This is something the Israelites, they would talk about the powerful things that God did. Why is that important? Because we remind ourselves that God is powerful and over and sovereign all of our, he's over all of our situation. Our struggle, he sees it and he has control and he's allowed it. We remind ourselves that God is powerful and he's in control. How do you do that? The instruction was to tell people, to tell your children, to tell your family, to tell yourself about how powerful God is. I will meditate. I will think about. I will bring to mind your majestic and glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. We need to be reminded. We get so absorbed. I get so absorbed in things. We need to remind ourselves of that. How do we get more of the psalmist's view? I remember the days of old. I meditate. There it is again. I meditate. This is Psalm 142. On all you have done, I ponder the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Developing a thirst for who God is. Investing in this relationship. It's easy not to get around to. So that's one thing you can do is focus. And as you do this, you'll learn. This is just a few patterns. You learn the pattern of life, the pattern of relating to God. There's lots of things we can learn about how to pray and lay our hearts out. God, I feel unwanted. I feel like nobody cares about me. I feel like, and sometimes that's real. Sometimes there's something else going on, but talk to God about it. So we're going to move out of the psalmist view and talk about acceptance. God's acceptance. So practically, the kingdom of God, one of the things that's happening is the devil is always trying to twist what God says. Ever since the Garden of Eden, the first temptation for Adam and Eve, did God really say that? Did God really say you would die? He's always trying to twist it. And God has complete acceptance of every person who trusts in him. But sometimes it doesn't feel that way. We don't feel that way about ourselves. And so how do we connect with that? So I want to look at a few principles here, ways we can do that. This is Romans 8:15. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption by whom we call Abba, Father. Now, this is really a Greek-Hebrew term, Abba. If you were an Israelite, grew up in a Hebrew family, you would know this word, Abba, the word for father, dear, connected, loving father, like you were a little kid. You're 5 years old, you'd call your dad Abba. You'd call your mother Ima. That's what you would say. Dad, can you give me this? Dad, can you help me? That God has been brought that close, Abba and Ima, not slavery, oppressive God who's taken over your life. Dad. Dad. You know, I had my parents came to visit for Thanksgiving here, and it was great to spend a few days with them. But God always shows me something when I get to spend a little time with them. I go, well, you know, they really care about me. I can see that. They really care about me, and then they want me to do well. Dad. So how do we connect with acceptance? How do we connect with this? If we don't feel wanted, how do we connect with being? One of the ways is replacing these thoughts with the truth. Psalm 149. The Lord delights in His people. He crowns the humble with victory. He delights in people who are His because they're part of His family, not because of what they did or didn't do. I was thinking practically about this. So I have four children. They're all here today, which is great. But I thought, I love all of my children because they're my children. I care about all of them. But if one of my children woke up tomorrow morning early and said, I'm not a clay patch anymore. I'm not a clay patch. I'm not going to be a clay patch. Don't call me that. Would it be true? If they did something wrong and got arrested and had to take a DNA test and say, I'm not a clay patch, my name is Smith. Lauren Smith. I don't know them at all. Had the DNA test. They'd say, you know, these are your parents. This is your family. No, it's not. No, we're looking at the test. These are all the markers. This is your family. This is where you should go home to. It doesn't change the fact that is our family. If you feel wanted or not, the truth is, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ, you've been adopted into His family. Sometimes we don't feel that acceptance. A lot of times we don't. You know, when we get to heaven, we will know that fully, all the time. And we will learn forever the depth of how, and we'll never be done learning because God is infinite. That grace and acceptance, what that'll be like. But we're part of God's family. You can't give that back. So how do we connect with that? Romans 8:38. Paul talked about this. I was wondering, how did Paul do this? He endured great hardship. Well, he wrote this. He wrote this to the church in Rome. Because I'm convinced. How did he do that? I'm perplexed. I'm knocked down. I'm not crushed, but I'm hunted at every corner. Because he believed this. He wrote this. I'm convinced that nothing, not denial, not myself, not my failings, nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Nothing. Neither death nor life, angels or demons, neither our fears. My fear of being not wanted. Neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Neither my fears and worries, neither my emotions, nothing. Not even God, not even the powers of hell. Not even the power and the deception of the devil can separate us from God's love. Nothing. Sometimes we need to be reminded, boy, if I feel unwanted, boy, we're just disconnected from the truth here. We just don't understand. That's the truth. That's the truth. So what could help us with that? I was looking at this verse in Ephesians. This is a little snippet verse. This is talking about God's grace. He says, which He lavished upon us. Now, lavish is kind of an unusual word. Have you ever felt lavished upon? Do you ever go somewhere? I've never been to a spa. I don't think I can bring myself to go to a spa. Maybe I could. But ever go somewhere where it's the lap of, you've been lavished upon. People wait on you hand and foot. Thanksgiving, right? The food was probably a little over the top, right? You felt cared for. Someone gave you all that you wanted, and probably more than you wanted, right? You made things that helped you think about family, lavished. You know, if you feel lavished, if you feel someone is going to that extent, you know, we went to a store. I'm starting this little business, and I found that for making these videos that my computer isn't good enough to make the videos. It's too slow. So I've been borrowing my children's computers because they're all faster than mine, but I need to get my own because I don't want to wait between all the video games. So I went to the store, and on Black Friday, and I says, okay, I'm going to go buy this computer. And my father's with me. My father's with me. He says, I'll pay for that. He says, Dad, you don't have to do that. He says, no, I'll take care of that. And you know, I know that my father cares about me because he does. I didn't ask him. He just does that. He's a giver. God is a giver. I felt a little lavished upon. You know, if you can connect with God lavishing grace on you, you're not going to feel unwanted. It's hard to feel both at the same time. I thanked myself. We walked out to the car. I said, thank you. He says, don't worry about it. You know, he didn't say I care about you. That generation doesn't do that. They don't say that. But they show it. They show you that they care. So we're trying to connect with God. If my father does that, how much does God care about you? Deeply. This is the next verse. In him we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, God's grace. You know, when we're giving something we need, and we recognize it, we go, wow, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for taking care of me, for doing what I couldn't do, for paying the price I couldn't pay. Thank you. You're never unwanted. If you feel unwanted before God, if you feel God always welcomes a repentant person, always. If you ever feel that way with God, it's not true. It's just something you picked up along the way. That's not true. There are times we need to draw near to God. We can get a little distant. We can get a little absorbed. We can get a little consumed. We can get a little off track. We can say to ourselves, I'm kind of a Christian, but not today. I don't feel like it today. I want to do my own thing. Here's what you can do. James 4:8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. Part of the problem is it's hard to hold things in our heart. Hard to hold two things at the same time. We need to let go of something so we can embrace something else. To embrace the truth of God. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. I can't go to God. I've done too much. I messed up. I screwed up. I'm no good. That's not confidence. You go draw near with confidence. You can always go that we may receive mercy and find grace. We're trying to find grace. How do we find grace? So I want to sum up here. I'm just going to summarize these things, and we'll have the music team come back up. So the psalmist view here, things we can do, and this is something I'm doing as I'm trying to learn to become better at prayer, as I'm reading 5 psalms a day, to learn that pattern of laying my heart out before God. Practical things, and there's many more in here, but I'm learning to proclaim his power, to focus on his deeds and to think about those things. If I get wrapped up in the world, how do I do that? You know, I'm starting a YouTube channel as I fly my quadcopters around because it's cool. I think it's cool. But I can go up legally to 400 feet. Illegally, I can go higher. But legally, that's as high as I can fly, but it's a great view. 400 feet, you can really see what's happening. You can see all around. The psalmist sees beyond this little narrow view. God's view is much bigger. How do we get more of God's perspective? It's going to come from being connected with God. That's one way to do that. The second thing you can do is spend time in relationship with God to learn about more about your acceptance. Your acceptance. What does it mean to relate to God like the Father you can always go to? The Father who is always giving to you. The God who is always lavishing grace upon you because He cares. To see God, because that's the way it really is. One day that'll be totally clear. That'll be totally clear when we're in heaven. There'll be no confusion about that. There'll be no doubts. The last thing you can do is to draw near to God. If you need to let go of something in your heart so that you can grab onto these things, you may need to let go of some things. So the reason is so you can find grace. So you can find it. You know, ever lose your car keys in your house? You set them down somewhere? They're there. And you look all around. They're in your house. And it takes you a long time to find them. It's not that they don't exist. It's that you can't find them. A lot of times we need to look to find grace. Why don't we pray and we'll have the music team come back up. God, thank you that you give us grace. Help us to understand these things in our heart and connect with these things. That you love us and we're always wanted and desired by you. Amen.